Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim Perek Kaf Bet. My name is Esther Tokayer. This chapter of Tehillim is also recited on Purim. Sfaradim recite the chapter twice, once on Purim night at the beginning of the evening service, and once in the morning at the end of the service as Shir Shel Yom, Song of the Day. Ashkenazim recite it in the morning as Shir Shel Yom as well. What is it about this chapter that causes us to associate it with Purim? The chapter starts with an introduction that says the song is about Ayelet HaShachar, the morning star, which appears in the sky just before sunrise from early July to mid-September. The word Ayaluti is also found later in the same chapter, and it is defined as my strength. So Ayelet HaShachar provides light in the darkness and is a source of strength. The Talmud in Masechet Yoma 29a compares Queen Esther of the Purim story to Ayelet HaShachar. The Midrash Shocher Tov, which is on Tehillim, states that it is always darkest before the dawn. Esther comes to save the Jewish people in their darkest hour, when they were in despair at the king's decrees, decrees that they did not understand and that turned their world upside down overnight. The rabbis also teach that Esther said this particular chapter of Tehillim as she approached the throne room, when she suddenly felt Hashem's presence leave her, and she prayed for it to return. The Talmud further teaches us in Megillah 13a that David saw in a prophecy that Mordechai and Esther would come from Shim'i ben Gera, from the tribe of Binyamin. Shim'i, a descendant of Shaul, curses David as he runs away from Avshalom. David's men want to kill Shim'i on the spot, but because David foresaw that Shim'i's descendants would save the Jewish people, he spares his life, even when he returns triumphantly from battle. Let's take a look at the chapter itself. The Malbim states that this chapter is really divided into two parts. The first part, until verse 16, describes the despair and devastation of being abandoned by Hashem, being the object of scorn from all who surround. The second part begins with verse 17 until the end. Here David turns from despair to hope and describes a shift in the struggle where he becomes victorious over those who seek to destroy him. He then gives praise for that salvation. The first part is devastation, a description of the abandonment David feels. David cries out to Hashem, asking why he has been abandoned. Why God stands so far away when David is crying out for him day and night without stop. And David says, "And you, God, are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Our forefathers put their faith in you, and you saved them, never allowing them to falter." He continues, "But I am a worm, not a man, the degradation of a man, a disgraced nation. All who see me denigrate me. Let man commit himself to follow Hashem, and allow Hashem to rescue him because he is pleased with him. Because you, God, saved me when I was a baby and completely reliant on my mother. I was left to you from the womb. You are my God. Don't desert me because distress is close and there is no one who will help me. Wild bulls and my enemies surround me. They are like lions who seek to devour me. My resolve has faded like water on the ground. My strength is dried up. My tongue cannot speak. You, Hashem, have laid me down in the dust to perish." The second verse refers to God as Keli. We know there are many names of God. Why this usage at this time? Kel is the third of the 13 attributes of mercy of Hashem. David uses it twice. The Radak comments that those who cry out emotionally use the name of Hashem twice. David is in great distress and seeking the mercy of Hashem. In verse 7, David describes the power that he has left in terms that show humility and faith, and that he describes himself as a worm. Why a worm? The Midrash Shocher Tov states that a worm has power through its mouth, that a worm can eat through even the mighty cedar tree and cause it to fall. So too, Israel, her power is in her mouth with the utterance of prayer. Even when she is seen as lowly and degraded, the power of prayer, Kol Yaakov, the voice of Jacob, will stand her in good stead. Verses 10 and 11, David compares himself to a baby who is saved from his mother's womb by God. The Malbim states that this is also a description of the status of the nation of Israel. Hashem took Israel in her infancy from the land of Egypt, from slavery, and protected and nurtured the new nation. When Hashem leaves Israel to her own defenses, she is as a baby abandoned and scorned by other nations. She has only Hashem to turn to. The description is one of vulnerability of the utmost on the part of David for himself and his people. His plea is to Hashem as a parent to come to the aid of their child who cannot continue to live and thrive without them. Many commentators take these verses to be David in prophecy describing the plight of the Jewish people during the time of Purim and of Esther in particular. Esther is the abandoned baby whom the chapter describes, and her parents died, her father after she was conceived, her mother immediately after her birth. That Esther recites this chapter of Tehillim as she approaches King Ahasuerus to attempt to save the Jewish people. She has been successful at getting the Jews to gather, to fast, and to pray, but at the last moment, as she enters the antechamber, she feels that God has left her. There are idols there. Hashem's presence does not remain. So she cries out to him that there were times before when she had to be in the presence of Avodah Zarah, idols. When she had to marry Ahasuerus, she did not feel abandoned. Why abandon her now? She reminds Hashem of all the kindness he has done until now and how he has brought her to this place. In this time, when people cannot see God's guiding hand, it is significant that Esther can and that she is sensitive to its removal even for a brief moment. Looking at verses 17 to 19, it seems that the description of the difficult situation in which David, Esther, and Israel find themselves continues. I am surrounded by dogs, lions seeking to destroy me. I count my bones, seemingly in pain, as they watch. They divide my clothes, my belongings among themselves. For many of the commentators, this is the low point of the chapter. David is in the center of his enemies. He is surrounded. He is injured. He is beaten. The Malbim suggests, however, that this is the beginning of the second part of the chapter, the part that speaks of salvation and redemption, that a close read of the 17th verse tells the reader that David's arms and legs feel strong as a lion, that a pack of dogs is no match for him, that he counts his bones in anticipation of the fight out of confidence that his enemies do not yet see, that his enemies think that their victory is complete, but David is getting ready to make his move. And then verse 20 begins the prayer, which is said with confidence. David prays to Hashem that he will come to his aid quickly. Save me from the sword and the dogs who wish to rip me apart. Save me from the mouth of the lion and the horns of the Remin. And I will glorify your name to my brothers and the congregation. All those who are God-fearing will sing your praises. The children of Jacob will honor you and be frightened of you. Because God does not forsake the poor, nor does he hide from him in his time of need. The Al-Sheikh comments on this message about the poor, that they are often overlooked by the ruling classes. The Al-Sheikh says that they were not invited to Ahasuerus's party, and therefore did not engage in the behaviors that would have raised God's ire. They were also overlooked by Nebuchadnezzar when he conquered Jerusalem and forced the upper classes to bow to idols. It is then the poor, the overlooked, the non-respected, the not included members of society that have the open door to Hashem to pray for all of us to be redeemed. It is among them that David will sing God's praises, and it is them who are deserving of rewards for their steadfastness. And David speaks of future generations. You, God, are the source of my praise, and I will fulfill my vows amongst those who fear you. The humble will be satisfied and will praise him, and the joy in their hearts will live forever. The ends of the earth will hear of this. They will remember God and return to him. All the nations of the world will humble themselves before him. All those who do not serve him will eventually return to dust, but those who fear him will be proclaimed to the generations. They will tell the newborn nation of what he has done. There are moments in history that are watershed moments, and this very rich chapter of Tehillim captures them. Moments when the Jewish people seems at their lowest spot, and then redeemed. Moments of Ayelet HaShachar, the morning star, where the night is darkest before the dawn. It is out of the slavery of Egypt that Hashem performs nature-bending miracles that precede the revelation at Sinai. It is out of the near destruction of the Jewish people in the story of Purim, where the Jewish people bring themselves out of assimilation to understand their complete and total reliance on the ruler of the universe, turn to him, change themselves, and begin a return to Zion. Our rabbis teach that the story of Purim is like a second revelation at Sinai, where the Jewish people accept the Torah. This time, without the awesome display of his revelation. This time, from an understanding that the Jewish people need the Torah and their faith and its wisdom to survive. This chapter is a song of faith, even in the depths of despair. It is a cry and plea in extremely difficult times that he not abandon us, and it is a call to us that we always understand that our spiritual and physical survival are dependent on our relationship with the Master of the Universe. May we be zoche, may we merit the faith and clarity of David and Esther to stand and be strong in our faith and our actions. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.